1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ukraine's President Zelensky just made an impassioned address at the UN on Russia.
Evil cannot be trusted. Ask Prigozhin if one bets on Putin's promises.
The mercenary leader died in a suspicious plane crash last month. But President Biden also backed Ukraine and called for more action on climate change at the UN. CBS's Michael George.
If you allow Ukraine to be carved up, is the independence of any nation secure? I'd respectfully suggest the answer is no.
The president also outlined the United States' vision to solve other global challenges, including climate change.
My administration, the United States, has treated this crisis as an existential threat from the moment we took office.
House Republicans plan to hold their first hearing next week in their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. It's set to focus on constitutional and legal questions over Mr. Biden's alleged corruption and abuse of public office stemming from his son Hunter's business dealings.
The nightmare is finally over. I've dreamt about this moment.
The nightmare over for five Americans who are back home now after getting released from Iran. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
In terms of what Iran will do going forward, I can't predict that. All I can tell you is that this administration and this president is going to continue to put pressure on them. We sanctioned some entities last week with regard to the way they treat their protesters and Iranian citizens. And just yesterday, we sanctioned additional entities, including former President Ahmadinejad, for the idea of wrongful detention of Americans.
They were held on spying charges. The United Auto Workers strike is still going and could get bigger if automakers can't reach a deal by Friday. Carita Russell has been working for Ford for 25 years.
We all have to stick together. As a middle class, we have to stick together. That's the bigger picture, is we're fighting for what the middle class deserves.
Sacramento County District Attorney Ten Ho is suing the city, saying homeless encampments there have become a threat.
The unhoused are living in conditions typical of third world countries. All the while, the rest of the community is stuck between compassion and chaos.
And CBS's Matt Piper now reports the number of unhappy workers is rising.
So says the tech company Bamboo HR, which surveyed thousands of American workers. Healthcare workers top the list of most unhappy. But on the opposite end, CEO Brad Rencher says construction workers are the least unhappy.
Even with all the upheaval of the pandemic and the craziness that came around that, they really have had steady work.
They've also had wage increases. Job openings also up, but wage growth overall isn't. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba! Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wiscountry.
Winona.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 20th. In Wood County, the Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9:15 at the courthouse in the county boardroom. Following that, the Wood County Board of Supervisors will meet at 9:30. The Jail Construction Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 10 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 115. The Wisconsin Rapids School District Council for Instructional Improvement meeting will take place from noon to 3. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 at the library. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board Subcommittee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Hewitt Village Hall. The Port Edwards Public Works regular monthly meeting will take place at 4 at the Marshall Bueller Center. The Village of Whiting Ad Hoc Committee on Village Property will meet at 5. In Adams County, the Housing Authority will meet at 2:30. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows level off around 54. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms tomorrow, highs level off around 82, partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 57. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 19th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 3:30, we are welcoming in Terry Johns and Brian DeWitt, representing the United Way. Right now, we have with us Dr. Nathan Black, Ph.D., District Administrator with the School District of Nakusa. Good morning, sir, or good afternoon.
Great to be here with you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate the time, Doctor. First off, just wanted to start off right away welcoming you to the area. Now, I know you are from the area, but new in the position that you're in.
Right. Well, it's a relative new to the area. So I grew up, I'm from Utah originally.
Okay, so that's what I thought. All right.
Grew up in Salt Lake City, one of the biggest, fun fact, my West High School where I graduated from has graduating class of 500 people. I was voted most shy as I was in my senior year. I was kind of hoping for most successful or most whatever. Everyone said most shy and, you know, that tracks.
It
took me a little while to get to like people. And so we got there eventually.
Right on. Did going into this field help you with that?
It really did. So the last thing I wanted to ever be was a teacher. So Utah, where I grew up, class sizes sit between 30 and 40. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the normal. And I'd say, why would anyone ever do that? I love teaching, but I don't see myself in public education because that's just a tough situation to roll. And so I prepped and my plan, and I worked to become a university professor so I could teach in that type of environment. Okay. But so I moved to Wisconsin. Me and my family moved to Wisconsin in 2001 to do our PhD at the University of Wisconsin Department of Curriculum Instruction. So it's the top program in the nation, and we were just excited. We didn't know about it. We just loved it. We actually had offers from Texas and Wisconsin. My wife said, I go to Texas because I love you, but Wisconsin's where we want to be, and we certainly felt that. So while I was there, one of our teachers that was over the student teachers teaching, now my field is German.
Okay.
So I learned to speak German when I was on a 2-year mission for my church in Switzerland and Austria. So learned how to be able to speak it. You know, how well you eat depends on how well you speak. It has a good momentum incentive to be able to help you move along with
that. Yes, I can see that.
So I was working in German education, and the professor went on sabbatical, and basically I was the only person who could step in from him, and I absolutely loved it. I realized the time being in the classroom, the public school classrooms, was where my brain went when I instead of my research and all the stuff. And I said, you know what? Probably the best career advice I've ever heard is, what do you think about when you don't have to be thinking?
Yeah.
And for me, it was teaching. For me, it was working with middle school, high school students. And I said, okay, I need to shift gears over here. So
I come from a little bit of a similar background. I've been acting since I was 7. Not one day did I ever think about teaching.
Never thought about it. I respect teaching, love teaching, but never really thought about doing it. I was born without a funny bone, so I went to comedy school to try to learn comedy and everything, and I started out of necessity, started teaching that, and now it's one of my favorite things in the world. I love teaching. Teaching is such a learning experience, and I love learning. Have you found that as well, Doctor?
I have, and you know, one of the things I love them, and I, again, not always good at it, and yeah, yeah. Nobody's born a teacher. But you learn to be able to, you know, for me, one of the biggest things that makes a difference between someone who just likes to talk versus being a big teacher, being an actual teacher, is how can you reach people who learn differently than you? How can you put yourself in their shoes? How do you process the world from their perspective? And that took me a little while. First of all, I was, well, here's what was successful for me. I was a successful student. I can do this. But that only gets X amount of people in your room.
Yeah.
And for me, really just the aha moment is when I can help other people grow, that grow differently from how I process the world, that I can sort of create a community that works for everybody.
That's so insightful. That's so good.
And so that's what I just love. And so the thing that really is why I can't get away from teaching, why it's what really sticks with me, is I love seeing growth. And I've noticed that with teachers as well. You know, the ones who work with it is, you know, they're focused on, okay, how can I get my student to get from here to here? Or, hey, you wouldn't believe, they brought a pencil for 2 days in a row. That doesn't sound like a big thing, but for some people, hey, you know, we're going to celebrate
that.
That's
a win. That's a win, yeah. So how long have you been in the position of district administrator for the school district of Nacoosa?
Well, if I can look at my watch on this one, because I'm basically just over 2 months in.
Okay.
So I've been in. So my wife and I moved to the area here in 2007 with our children. And so I was started out as a German teacher. I taught at Nacoosa High School and Alexander Middle School. 6 years, both of those, 5 years total at the high school. Moved into a position of director of curriculum instruction while I was still teaching German. For the past 5 years, I've been the Alexander Middle School principal, and now still the meter is just starting to run on district administrator. But, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate, and just like I said earlier, is like, okay, why would anyone want to be a teacher where I grew up? Yeah. I caught myself saying times, whoever would want that job? You know, there's just the type of stuff in that sometimes there's the political environments you have to deal with, or there are the, you know, just any number of factors that make it a difficult area to be able to keep focused on what's student growth. But, you know, when I was, for me, a big part of it is, so all three of my children graduated from Nacoosa. And, you know, I grew up from, my expectation was, my wife and I had this conversation. We said, okay, are we good with our children in a smaller district? Like, we both had huge high schools and all kinds of offerings, but we wanted to be able, however, we wanted to raise our children in a smaller town, a chance to be able to where they were known and not fall through the cracks. And, you know, one of the things that really helped me to see is that that Nacoosa evolved to really have those options. Like right now, we're punching above our weight class as it is. Like right now, our high school has 11 AP course offerings and 9 dual credit offerings with MidState. And as I've seen my children go through and have opportunities, we were worried that they wouldn't have enough opportunities at a smaller school, but they actually have. You know, my youngest daughter ended up starting college with enough credits to be a sophomore, to be able to work some things. But just to be able to have, you know, for us, you have to be able, and so now I've seen them at college and moving on and doing great things, but they were not held back at all by being in a smaller place. In fact, you know, it really just helped their confidence and get that down. And, you know, for me, going why I wanted to be superintendent, I was like, okay, I need to give back, you know. I want to be able to, just like I need to be, now not everybody's like my family, but I need to have everybody who's in our schools have the same chance of success, the same chance to build that confidence that my children have. And you know what? I got to give back. That's when opportunity came available. I was like, okay, that's what I got to do.
We're seeing some parallels, you and I, because that's pretty much the whole reason I am at this station right now. This town, this city gave me so much. And I am not a doctor. I am not a teacher. I'm not any of these things that I can really put back into my community, I can do this. I can bring people like yourself on. I can promote you. I can promote different people during this show or help our area, support local, a lot of this stuff. So I use the skill set I got to try to give back. I feel every word of what you're saying there, sir. And I really appreciate that. As out-of-towners, I'm from Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think we have a unique perspective of this area. Not to say that people from here don't get it. They get it on just a different level. I think for outsiders like us, people that, you know, transplants, whatever words you want to use, we have an appreciation for this area and immediately want to give back to it. And I think that's pretty cool to hear. We don't talk about it a lot, but it's something that is evident to a lot of people from out of town that I talk to that come to this area. They like this area. They want to put back into it.
Yeah, and sometimes you just don't know what you got.
Yeah.
Like, as a high school teacher, I can remember talking to my students oftentimes, and some that were coming is like, okay, I can't wait to blow this lemonade stand. I'm going off to college, and I'm never coming back, and I'm like, hey, buddy, you don't know what you got here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I would remember, I was teaching in my classroom. I could look out. There's a forest. I mean, I grew up in kind of a urban jungle. That makes it sound bad. Big cities are not a bad thing, but it's all concrete, just being able to be in nature. But more importantly, just to be known and to be able to make a difference, you know, and to be able to have the bar for people to know who you are, to be able to, you know, be able to invite you into their lives to do something. You don't get that in a lot of bigger areas. And just being able to be in an area to be able to keep doing that is, you know, don't look at the grass is not greener over there. You know, I'm really appreciative of what we have here.
Got some really nice green grass around here. You mentioned something earlier about kids falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
In your position, how do you work to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, and there's a number of different ways that can go. You know, probably one of the biggest things, especially as middle school principal, I'll tell you right now, middle school is one of the areas where child development sort of comes, where students are transitioning away from, okay, I'm trying to basically do what parents are asking me to do. Their sense of identity is very tied up with their families and their friends, where right around fifth, sixth grade, people start saying, oh, wait a minute, I am different. How is this? And then they set the sliders all the way to maximum and start pressing the boundaries, and all of the level of how do I become a responsible person is a real issue on how you start working with people. And, you know, that is, and I got to be honest with you, that's one of my favorite ages to work with because it's real.
Yeah.
And you can sort of like it. Some days you got to be the adult in the room, but you also got to be to make sure people, to go to your question of how people don't fall through the cracks, you make sure you have an environment, first of all, that people feel they belong. And you really have to create, if students know if they're wanted there, students know how you feel about it. You can put on a good face, but they can suss you out pretty quick. And the teachers who really, I just got to give a shout out to our teachers. I love the amount of being there and just being the adult in the room, being the person who is, tomorrow's a new day. Let's go ahead and help you grow. And, you know, so we've got in all of our class, at every grade level, we've got advisory classes where we're looking at social emotional skills. How do we talk about what's it mean to overcome conflict or be a good friend or to be able to just learn the very basics of how you be people?
Yeah.
You know, life does not come with a user manual.
Nope.
But we're talking about it. And what's fun talking about with students is children and students change quicker than adults because they're sincere. Mm. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And you can see when you see that growth of somebody, like one of the things I really appreciate is being a principal and now superintendent is I can see how students move from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm over right now, all of the students who are at the high school were younger students at the middle school when I saw them. And it's fun going up there and they're being able to see what they're doing and some of the amazing things. Like just a quick note on this. So I recently made a feature video about the great things that are like our at our high school. We do something called Link Crew in which the upperclassmen, our seniors and juniors reach out to our incoming freshmen and make sure they have someone to talk to and make sure that they have a mentor. And the people I was talking to, I did an interview with a couple of them, and I remember them back when they were seventh graders. And I was saying, wow, I don't see you in this role doing that. And, you know, because as a seventh grader, that's not who they were. But now as a junior, they're saying, no, I can do this and I can walk them through. And I'm just like seeing that growth and making the way to make sure people don't fall through the cracks is it takes a community. You have to have teachers on board. You have to have students on board. Students have to know that they belong and that they want to be there. And you get that basis of it, and that is the foundation of everything else you do.
You touched on this a little bit. I'd like to go a little deeper on it. How have your other positions helped you with this one and going forward? How do you think that your other positions you've done is going to help you with being the district administrator?
Okay, thanks. Great question. And thought a lot about that one. You know, really one of the things is where schools make a difference is the teacher-student connection. That's the secret sauce. That is where the relationship is. That's where the growth and the magic happens in education. And as my role as when I was a principal, my role there was really to make sure that I was there for teachers in the way that they were there for their students, because they've got to approach each student in a different way, and so and each of their students are learning differently. And well, guess what? That holds for teachers too. Not forgetting what it's like being in the classroom, knowing the stresses, just being able to how can you make things happen, and just being able to work alongside and keep your finger on the pulse and support them. And now, and so certainly the same way that, so as a principal, I made my impact by making sure our teachers felt supported and were able to, essentially, here's the thing, teaching is not one of the 9-to-5 jobs. You come home, you're staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m. saying, okay, how can I do this one better? And how can I make some adjustments? And once you make the adjustments, the students, it works. And, but it's never, and even if you've done it for decades, you got new students in front of you every year. How do I make it match for that student? You know, put and so you've got and so having being doing that as a principal supports the teachers. Now my role is the as a superintendent. How can I support the principals to be able to be those people for the teachers too? And I've really appreciated our administrative staff who really takes on that challenge and be able to leans into how do we make this a place where everybody's growing. If we want our students to be growing, our teachers need to be growing.
You know,
and that's how it works.
One thing I didn't realize until I started teaching, and it maybe even didn't realize until I became adult and had kids, is one, the connections of how many things that make a good parent make a good teacher. There's some similarities there. But how important it is to kids to be relatable. That the teachers that spoke to me the most, the ones I heard the most, and even looking at my own parents, maybe the best lessons they gave me were their imperfections, them not being perfect and being relatable, that how much that meant to me as a kid. I didn't realize at the time, and now as a teacher, I see it so much. The kids that come back and back to me for questions and all that are the ones that I'm just real with. That I don't try to put on airs. I'm just myself. If I make a mistake in front of everybody, I own it. These kind of things. They seem to be so much more inclined to listen and want to be engaged with me. Do you see that as well? That being relatable is so much more important than being perfect?
Absolutely. Because we're, and again, if we can't do perfect, because if you're trying to be perfect, everybody's faking it. You can be yourself, but you can be transparently yourself. You're modeling how to a real, you know, real adults don't always agree with each other, but we can model how to work through problems. Real adults have bad days, and we need to, now let's be clear, you have to set that tone. There's days there's a fake it till you make it, because if you're waiting for somebody else to have a good day, and you got to start that going, and you have to bring that energy. But when you're modeling forms like, hey, I'm struggling, but here's how I'm going through it, and then your students are looking for that in their own lives. You know, the, you know, one of the, there's two things students want to know: do you love me, and what can I get away with? And you need a good answer for both of those.
Yes, you do.
And but in that order, because
in that order,
because it's healthy to set boundaries as adults. And so much of the what we're talking about is it's referred to as discipline, classroom management. Really, what works best is when you're able to connect with your students and to be able to set boundaries and help people understand those boundaries exist for the personal relational reasons of how it affects others. Because, you know, newsflash, a lot of people that a lot of students mostly struggle with how does my actions affect other people? And once they start paying attention to more of that, and I saw, as I loved working with high school students as they got older, they became more aware of the field around them. And that's where they really start to take off. But you love them. And if you can't teach them today, you love them, and maybe you can teach them more tomorrow. And between those two poles, that it, but if you're being real, and part of that is just showing what it means like to love yourself, you can work with them.
What are your hopes for not just this year, but going forward with this position?
A major hope I've got is that we're able to make a community that takes care of each other, and the answer is in the room. So let me. So one of the things that, going back a couple of years, that we went through the whole COVID shutdown, and sorry to use a swear word there, but you know it was a it was a tough time for everybody. Yeah. And you know, I know as a principal, it was tough to be able to be in touch with students and teachers in ways that we couldn't before. And you know, but one of the things that came out of that is as we really invest in, okay, let's be there first and show up for what the social needs, the emotional needs. Let's support people where they're at. Then a lot of the academics and the other things fell into place, and just really prioritized to me that, you know, we were able to work with our students as we can connect with them and we can support them. I was able to build deep connections through tough times with our teachers to be able to say, hey, we're in this for each other and we're helping each other. You know, and now as we're getting back to more of, well, we're always going to have the upheaval and well, COVID just pretty much opened up a lot, made transparent a lot of the struggles that were sort of beneath the surface. But as we do that together and make sure that we're that administration supporting teachers so they can be there for the students and everybody's around to make to really get help students be their best selves, then that's, I guess, if I had to sum it up, how can we create a community where we trust each other to help each other be our best selves? You know, there's a quote from a German author that has always resonated with me. I have this in my on my wall in my office. It says, if we treat people the way they are, we make them worse. If we treat people the way they ought to be, we help them to become what they're capable of becoming.
That's great.
And so you have to see with an eye of faith. You have to be able to work towards that. But as you do, people step up to the challenge. And quite frankly, there's more. It's not just an eye of faith. There's more there than you see at first blush. And being able to help, when people feel comfortable enough to pull down their mask and to be their real selves, then that's where, again, that's where the magic happens. And that's what I, and are we there? No. Are we, are we? It is, but that's our goal. That's where we're coming. That's where we're working to build.
When I think about my kids are in their 20s, and when I think about my friends that have kids that are in school right now and stuff, I think of the challenges to face kids that are so different than when you and I were in school and some of those things. And I think about that, and then I expand it to the teachers and to people like yourselves in this field and how, well, if it's tough for kids, it's going to be a whole different for teachers as well. And teaching when I was a kid, my teachers and your teachers have to teach completely different nowadays. What are some of the bigger challenges when it comes to all of that in today's day and age of teaching?
Well, one of the things that, so I'm going to read you really quick our school district vision. This is what we're aspiring to. This is what we're trying to be. It says, the vision of the Nakusa School District is to equip all students to succeed in a diverse global community, academically, emotionally, and socially. And when I think about that, and that ties into your question, is that we are preparing our students to live in a world that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
We there's many things that this has worked for me in the past that I can't, that I'm preparing my students to replace that.
Yeah.
We're helping our students not just to get where we can, but to be able to be flexible, thinking enough to be able to, we've got students who are creating opportunities that I look at them and say, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And so, so much of what we're trying to do is less, it's, you're getting away from the drill and kill. You're getting away from, here's just the memorization, the low level thinking, but you have to be able to think critically, not just does this make sense, but okay, where do I fit relative to this? What do I think? Where are, where's my confidence? What am I good at? And, you know, part of those things is like, I know we were talking at our high school recently. They presented our last board meeting and they were talking about how one of our plans is to be able to help every high school student be able to have multiple job shadows so that they can see what the real world like is like and bring that back as you're figuring that out. I don't know if, how it was for you, but I was scared to graduate at times in middle, at high school, at college, and saying, what is the world like and how's what's next? And the more that we can make those, what do I want to become and help people, you know, try that on for size. You know, one of my favorite definitions of school is like students are trying on different masks to see which ones fit. And as better we can help them recognize what, where the fit is and what matches for them, then they're going to be prepared to go ahead and develop what tomorrow's like. Because we don't know what it looks like, but we can prepare them to be the ones who are changing it.
One of the things that I've seen to me that seems encouraging from an outsider at the education system looking at it is the rise of talking about mental health, and certainly that for kids and students and understanding more of that. I would say in recent months, if not recent years, I've seen that also include teachers. and the importance of that for them. Is that something that you consider in your position, not only how your students are doing, but how the mental health of your teachers as well?
Key point. Again, that just everything that's out in society, mm-hmm. every struggle, the impacts of that walk through our doors every day. Mm-hmm. And there is a very real thing that our teachers can experience called compassion fatigue. They're working and supporting students and being the adult in the room and helping them be their best selves. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just recognizing that I actually just recently I do a lot with video. And mm-hmm. I, as a principal, I made daily videos for our students. And I've started to shift those over now to make ones for our staff. And I made one just recently about talking about the importance of focus on growth, focus on yourself. What are the type of things you do that keep you sane?
Mm-hmm.
As important our job is, you can get so caught up in it sometimes that you forget to do the things that help you be you.
Yeah.
And if you can't authentically be you and get in touch with that, you're not going to be able to have that well of reserve for your students.
Yeah.
And so, but quite frankly, we need each other. And so really that community of mental health is really for everybody, not just for the teachers. The administrators need this just as much.
Yes.
Because really it's about how can we you can't pull water out of an empty bucket.
Yeah.
And how can we keep filling that for each other, because it's just going to pay it forward.
Speaking with Dr. Nathan Black, PhD, District Administrator at School District of Nakusa. Great conversation, sir. Thank you so much for this. I'm looking forward to talking again real soon, because you did too good of a job, you're going to have to come back. That's the catch. I'm sorry, I don't know if you saw it in your contract, but if you do a good job, you have to come back someday. So that's the catch of this.
Oh, darn. Sign me up.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the things we've discussed, Doctor, how can they get in touch with you?
All right. Go ahead and get hold. You can look at our district website. NakusaSD.net is probably the easiest way. And then if you prefer the old school way of a phone call, 715-886-8000.
Thanks again for the time, sir. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin is warning of a rise of emergency scams again. Also called grandparent scams, the con artist will impersonate their target's loved ones and make up an urgent situation to plead for help and money. They use social media to look up information to make their story sound plausible. If you get a call, email, or social media message that seems to be from a distressed loved one, do not act immediately. End the call or messaging. Check out the story with other family members or friends. Do not wire any money if there is any doubt about the call. Scammers are able to use voice cloning techniques now to imitate the voice of your loved ones. The scam can also work in reverse, with the grandparent calling their grandchild. Visit BBB.org to find out more information on how you can protect yourself against scams. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for isolated thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows level off around 54. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms tomorrow, highs level off around 82, partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 57. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 19th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and welcoming in our good friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you, Terry. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
And we have campaign chairman for 2023, Brian DeWitt, with us. Brian,
hey,
good
James.
To see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it. We know how much we love the United Way around here and talking with you guys, so let's dive right into it, because it is campaign season. It is go time. Want to ask about how the campaign is going. Brian. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going great. We've had quite a few meetings with quite a different variety of groups, and there's been some good conversation. We're sharing our message, and I think everybody's been really receptive.
How have you been enjoying this, Brian? You're kind of new into the gig and just starting right, jumped into the fire like we do with our chairman. Right. And we appreciate that, too. But as you're doing that, as you're getting to some of these events, interacting with some of the people, what are some of the things that have stood out to you?
Yeah, well, I've really enjoyed just meeting the variety of folks in the community, you know, spreading the message of the United Way. You know, the big thing I always talk about is the fact that there is no single organization that you can donate to that covers more than the United Way does. You know, I mentioned last time that there's over 30 partner programs that we partner with. So getting that support in the community and just reaching out to people, and it's been good.
I'm curious, not to take us down a sidetrack here, but you know, somebody who, as we met before and we talked about, as you taking on the chairman role, you've supported the United Way for a long time, long before you were a chairman.
Yep.
But as you are now behind the scenes, you are a part of things. Are you seeing that they do even more than you realized, or seeing things that they impact that you didn't even know they did, or maybe didn't have as good of an idea as? Just working with Terry, and not even working technically with the United Way, but working with Terry on air here a bunch over the years, I've seen and learned so much more than I ever realized. And I thought I was pretty up to date on the United Way. I've found so much more. Have you seen that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. There's, like I said, the 30 partner programs, and there's a bunch that I didn't even know about. Some of the volunteer opportunities, you know, I didn't know until last year, I didn't know about the Day of Caring, which is coming up on October 21st. You know, you go around, you rake yards for folks that can't get out there and do their own yards. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, just a really good program there. And then, you know, some of those other programs, the Focus Food Pantry, I didn't even know that existed. Really cool program to see. Some of the emergency shelter stuff, I didn't know the United Way did. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. Mm-hmm. With as big as a program as that is, you would think that more people have heard about it. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, a lot of people I talk to, they've never heard about it. And it's a really cool program to get kids from 0 to 5 years books and get them to start reading even before school. So,
Have you gotten to interact with any other organizations as part of a campaign chairman so far?
Yeah. So, well, and we've went to the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department. We've done presentations for Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools and Port Edward Schools. As a matter of fact, today we're going to Aspire's Clinic. So, a lot of organizations in the community we're getting to see, and like I said, getting to meet new people.
How did it go at the fire department?
Really good, yeah. The conversations were great. People were very receptive. I happen to have a few friends that work over there, nice. So good to see those faces. Mm-hmm. It was really nice.
Very cool. Terry, how has it been going from your perspective with that campaign season?
Everything's been going great. You know, off to a really strong start, and, you know, it's a little too early to say where we're at dollars-wise, so to speak. Yeah. But, you know, certainly by the next time that we come back, you know, we'll have some early start numbers and have a feel for, you know, kind of the preliminary. But again, many companies run in the month of October. Mm-hmm. And so what's come in so far is mostly mail, you know, solicitations. So things that mailers that we've sent out and people returning those. We have one company campaign that's complete. So we'll just give them a shout out, Paul Gross Jewelers. They're all done. Yeah. So, you know, talk to all their employees, got that into us. So, you know, so that's really awesome and important. And, you know, I think one of my takeaways so far this year that was really important is when we were visiting with the fire department, the question came up. And honestly, I'm very appreciative when people ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd much rather have them ask, even when it's a hard question, than to not ask and not give because of it, right? So you might ask the question, get the answer, and still not give. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we hope that that's not it, but at least we have the opportunity to address the question. So the question came up of, you know, well, aren't you just the middleman? Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, fair question, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, we used to hear that a lot, kind of a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been quite some time since that question has come up, you know, so why wouldn't I just give directly to a specific agency? And Brian had a really good, you know, really good follow-up to that.
So the big thing is that what the United Way provides is a little bit of oversight by folks who are professional, not-for-profit people. Mm-hmm. And so when you donate that dollar, you can be sure that it's going to an organization that is using that dollar to contribute to the community. And, you know, on the board every year, we go over financials of all these places and we make sure that they're viable. And, Yeah, you don't necessarily have that if you donate directly to a small organization.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, that's really important. So we talked about that with that group, you know, saying if you, you know, if accountability is something that you feel strong about, we're doing all of that work for you. The other thing about it is that, you know, let's say your passion is hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, you could give directly to one agency, but if you donate to United Way, it's getting to all seven hunger programs, mm-hmm. right? So I mean, I think the ability to have a greater impact with your dollar is you know, through United Way, because we are setting goals based on community needs and based on feedback that we receive, doing all the homework on those organizations, like Brian said, and then you know, making the decision that yes, we want to use United Way dollars to fund that program, or sometimes no.
Yeah.
You know, these are where we kind of see some deficiencies, or these are where we see some opportunities. Let's fix these things, and then we, you know, United Way may be willing to fund that program. But and sometimes those are hard conversations, yeah, of course. Yeah. But you know, I think that diligence with the donor dollar, along with transparency, is, you know, really one of our you know, one a really strong foundation for us. Is that, you know, we say, hey, if you trust us with your donation, and that could be a dollar a week, mm-hmm. you know, which the $52 qualifies you for our sweepstakes. So it could be a dollar a week. It could also be $2,500.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is that you want to invest in your community, you know, I think that we, our role is to be good stewards with those dollars.
For my family, I come from a family that doesn't have a lot, but is always big about giving and giving back to wherever we were. It didn't matter what you had. You always had something to give. But they wanted to be smart about what they gave to. My mom was very adamant about understanding, like, if an organization wasn't very transparent, she was moving on. It could be the National Jewish History of Jewish History Mothers Organization. If they weren't transparent, she was not going to put into it. One of the things that stood out to her right away moving to this community was the United Way and the transparency of the United Way. It wasn't until I started working with Terry that I understood how serious you guys take that, how important that is. And as I got older, and shortly before you and I met, Terry, there were so many natural disasters. I cannot remember exactly what it was, but there was something going on, and there was a big outcry about people getting into certain organizations. I'm not going to throw names out there or anything, mm-hmm. but finding out that only like 25% or whatever the percentage was actually going to the cause. And immediately, unfortunately, every organization, every nonprofit almost got put under a microscope and was like, well, now I'm questioning the Shriners. I'm questioning this. I'm questioning everything. And the, sure enough, I start talking with Terry, and one of the first conversations we have is how important it is to you, Terry, and to the organization to be transparent and to have accountability. So when people say to me, or if I do hear somebody say, well, why should I do this? They're a middleman. They're not a middleman. They're the keepers. They're the gatekeepers. They're people that are making darn sure that dollar that goes through the gate and it goes right where it's supposed to go. And not 50 cents of the dollar, not 75% of the dollar, the mm-hmm. whole dollar goes to where it's supposed to go.
Go ahead.
Oh.
That was good, though. That was good, you guys. That was good.
Right? And I was going to say, that's the beautiful thing about what the United Way does. And even today, you know, with natural disasters mm-hmm. and organizations that you could potentially be donating to that aren't using your dollars, you want them to be used. You look at the fires in Hawaii, and that's happening. We've seen that in the news.
Yep.
The United Way provides that oversight. And the cool thing about your donation is if there's a particular program that you want your dollar to go to, but you want that oversight and you don't want to donate that dollar directly to the program, you can designate that dollar to go to that program via the United Way's pledge form.
Yeah, or even to a strategy area. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you could just say basic needs. Food and shelter are what's important to me versus, you know, versus a specific program. Either way, and I think it's also important to note is that you can also engage with another United Way. So sometimes people live in one community, work in another community, or they continue to support the community where they grew up mm-hmm. or, you know, all United Ways. We all play really nice in the sandbox with each other mm-hmm. and make sure that, you know, donor intent is the number one priority. You know, going back to, you know, what it kind of costs to do business and what that means. You know, we are very fortunate in that we have an endowment fund that we have worked to build over the years. And those dollars are used to the income and earnings. We protect the principal, but the income and earnings are used to offset the costs of doing things like this, like campaigning. Doing a little bit of advertising, we're very frugal with that, yeah. And we do hear that. And, it was one of the things that Brian said before, Imagination Library. Like, not very many people know about it. Well, of course, we could spend thousands and thousands of dollars to make sure everybody knew, but then that would come away from the thousands and thousands of dollars we want to put in the program. So it's a delicate balance. Mm-hmm. But we are very fortunate that we have that endowment. We don't have enough income and earnings from the endowment to cover every single cost, but it's something that we work toward. And one of the things that's helping us get a step closer to our goal is for this year's campaign, the first $500,000 donated to the campaign will be matched by the Legacy Foundation of Central Wisconsin with a donation to our endowment. Mm. So not to the campaign. We still need the campaign dollars. We still need the general public and in our community to support the campaign. But the fortunate thing about that is the first $500,000 that we raise will be matched into that endowment, which will then leverage, again, more dollars that we can use to help offset, any costs that we have. The other thing is, within the 30 programs, there's also programs that are offered by our staff. Mm-hmm. So we have the 211 program. We have the Volunteer Center. Brian brought up the Day of Caring before. Mm-hmm. We also have in the event of any kind of disaster, we are also the lead on a volunteer reception center, which is basically we have a couple of teams of volunteers from the community that organize the spontaneous volunteers because that happens. There's flooding, there's a tornado, there's a windstorm, a hailstorm, whatever it might be. And people want to help, but sometimes just showing up with your chainsaw, in the street isn't the best way to do that. So we do have the volunteer reception center that is hosted by United Way to help work with emergency management to get volunteers to the right places. So there's a lot that goes on.
There's a lot of logistics involved that I don't think we get to cover very often when it comes to that. I don't believe, and maybe it's one of the last naive bones in my body, but I don't believe we have a society that doesn't want to help, that doesn't want to give back. I think more than not, you have people that do, but people are a little hesitant. People may even be a little bit scared of what to give. Well, I don't want to be hoodwinked. I don't want to, have something like that. I want to make sure that it's actually going there. And we kind of covered that part of it. But there's another important aspect of it, Terry, that we don't get a chance to get into very often. The person who maybe, and it's not dollars and cents, but physically wants to help, physically wants to, volunteer or something. But you're right. I go down the street and I'm like, I'm here to help. But, I'm standing in the middle of the street. There's nothing going on here. The direction and the logistics of where, okay, I'm a body, put me where I need to go, and you guys can help do that. You can help, and not just throw me anywhere, but throw me where my skill set is best at, best applied.
Absolutely. And so that happens every day in our community around volunteerism in general. And, anyone who is interested in volunteering in any kind of capacity, I would really encourage you can do two things. One, you can go on our website, click volunteer, and you can actually just peruse the volunteer opportunities that have been posted by organizations in the community. The other is to connect with Ben from the United Way office, and he can do a little interest inventory with you and find out that, only Mondays from 2 to 3 work for you, and whatever it might be, your interest is helping with maybe some kind of office type work or copying or something like that. He can do that interest inventory and then identify some opportunities, or if we don't already know of them, maybe seek some of those out, to say that we have somebody, or we have somebody that is willing to cut wood, whatever the case would be. So you can connect with Ben to do that. And I also want to give a shout out around volunteerism. And one of the things that we've been doing are some group impact projects. And so these are it's like a kit building opportunity, so to speak. So this morning, Ben was actually over with our friends from US Bank on A Street, and they were making, as a staff, laundry kits. And so those laundry kits will go to the food pantry and to some other organizations so that people who don't have laundry detergent or don't have the amount of resources to stretch their dollar that far will have access to laundry kits the next time that they visit the pantry. So, that's really awesome. And we've been coordinating quite a few of these around the community. We have a really cool one actually next week. We have a confirmation group from one of the local churches. Cool. At their over the summer, they did a fundraiser, raised enough funds to make hygiene kits for the elementary schools. So it would include a toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, washcloth, you know, some things like that. And so what's really cool about it is kids raise the money and kids are building the kit. Yeah. And then they're going to go back and help, you know, help other kids. So, you know, that's another volunteer opportunity. Yeah. That doesn't always seem like it's a volunteer opportunity, right? Yeah. You know, so it's kind of a light lift, but what's awesome about it is that it's a group. Oh, you know what I mean? So it's like in this case, it's the confirmation group, or this morning it was a group of coworkers before even, you know, Ben was there with them before they even opened. So we're pretty flexible on what that looks like, but it's a great opportunity. It's also a it's good PR for your company too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we co-brand it. So it's, you know, this is brought to you by this company and United Way. And I think that there's a lot of value there that's obvious, but then there's also a lot of value that we don't even necessarily think about in the impact that kit makes for the recipient.
Speaking with CEO Terry Johns and campaign chairman Brian DeWitt with United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, we have a lot of events going on right now with United Way coming up or on around the corner. Let's dive into some of the events coming up, Terry. I know we've already touched on them a little bit.
Sure. So the next event that we have on the calendar is Friday, October 6th, and this is our annual Denim Day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just kind of a fun opportunity. Basically, what we're asking people to do is wear jeans that day, a United Way shirt if you have one, hopefully you have one, and make a $5 donation. And this really originated with some companies that don't allow casual days, but they said if you make it, you know, kind of community wide, then we'll let our team participate. Nice. And so we've just kept it on the calendar. And I think sometimes it's just for the remembrance, you know, like all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, you know, this is why I'm doing this. I'm wearing casual clothes for the day. And even if you normally can wear jeans, it's still just kind of a fun thing. We have some stickers that say I'm wearing jeans for United Way, that kind of thing. So that is October 6th. Then on October 21st is our Day of Caring. Mm-hmm. We are still taking registrations for yards.
Okay.
So if you are listening or you know someone in the Southwood County area that is elderly or disabled that may need help getting their yard raked, we do still have some spots open. And the way that you register to do that is by calling 211.
Okay.
And so preferably between 8 and 5, because then a local person will answer and gather some information from you.
If with the community denim, could people still sign up for that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So the way that we do that is, you know, people just participate.
Yeah.
And then we ask you to post it on your social media and tag United Way. Or if that's not really kind of your thing, you can get in touch with us and we'll send one of our staff people over to take your picture and feature that. So, yeah, absolutely. No registration required other than if you need us to come, you know, do the photo, then just get in touch and let us know.
With Day of Caring, how are we doing with the amount of lawns? I know we're hoping to get 100 this year. We're hoping to do 100 lawns. How's it going?
Yeah, so we're around 70.
Okay, nice.
And 70 is what we did last year. Mm-hmm. We actually used to kind of cap it, and then there was this kind of bold goal of, hey, we could do 100.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we did have a good number of volunteers last year. We were kind of back to our pre-COVID number.
That's
and so
great.
So that was good. So we're hoping that continues to grow. Mm-hmm. But what we found was, last year, some people would, you know, that we do a hot breakfast from 8 to 9 at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. And then at 9 o'clock, send people out with their raking assignments. And what we found was by maybe 10 o'clock, we were having teams, you know, contacting Amy from our team saying, okay, we're done. Oh. And so they're like, do you have any more? Because, you know, the idea is that this goes till about noon. And so we thought, well, you know, we could put two small yards together as a raking assignment. So that's why we've opened it up.
Cool.
But we are at last year's number, but, you know, we definitely can take some more.
And again, you can reach out to United Way to find out whether you want to sign up a team or if you have a lawn that you want, you could use help with.
Absolutely.
UWSWAC.org. The Learning for Reading Mentorship Program. I wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Yep, so we are recruiting reading mentors right now. Mm-hmm. And we are set up currently in 4 elementary schools. So we are at Washington, Meade, Humke, and Grant. And there are our volunteer opportunities, the time frame, so meaning the amount of time, the date, day of the week and the actual time mm-hmm. is dependent upon the classroom teacher's schedule. And so, you know, sometimes I sense a little frustration from people like, oh, well, I'm not available at the time. Well, we got to go with the flow of the schedule of the classroom.
Work with the school. Yeah,
so, so what you see is what's available. Mm-hmm. But we do encourage people to participate. And basically, the time frames are anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes, one time per week from the week of October 16th through mid-May. And so it's a weekly commitment. Mm-hmm. And we really ask people to really make a strong effort to make that commitment, because what we're looking for is students to get reading practice, but we're also looking for the bond that can be built between those students and another trusted adult. So to participate, you need to visit our website, uwswac.org, click on the Reading Mentor banner, or if you go in the side menu, you can find it under Women United. Select which school you'd like to work with, select the time slot, and then we will be in touch. The other thing that you need to do is pass the background check.
Yeah.
And each school district does their background checks a little bit different, so we will just be in touch. It's it's impossible for me to, you know, just put it out there because it's just different for each. And also the length of time that it's good is different for each. So we will be in touch if you sign up for mentoring with what you need to do next. But so far we've had a really good showing. Our goal is that we fill all the slots. My goal is by October 1st, so that we can, you know, kind of coordinate. If people have been mentors before, they maybe don't need a touch base. But if you're new to mentoring in that school, you know, there's some really important stuff to go over: where to park, how you get in the building, you know, where you sign in and out, where your purse and coat go, or, you know, whatever
when's
the case
recess?
Be. So when is recess?
I want to know when recess is. I want to know.
Important thing. So yes, that's going on now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe by the end of this week, they'll all be full and then we'll figure out and open up some more slots. I don't know. But it is good. And the response has been good. And we've been a little soft since coming back after COVID. So it's nice to see people excited and interested and wanting to do this.
I talk to people all the time that are asking, you know, how can they do things? How can they be involved with the United Way? Or how can they put back into the community, especially those that may not have dollars and cents? This is the first thing I think of. This is the first thing. I mean, there's plenty of great opportunities, not only with the United Way, but in this area as far as putting back in your community. But this is literally the first, I'm not joking, it's the first thing I think of when people bring this up. What a great way to not only impact your community, but you're talking about not just putting into our community today, but tomorrow, the next year, the year following. This is it. Putting back into our community. If you're looking at making a giant impact, helping kids learn to read or feel more confident about reading, there ain't many better things you can do. And it's so simple. It's such an easy use of your time, easy time to do it too. And it's fun. It's a fun thing to do too. I've done this. It's fun.
Time is as valuable a resource as money can be.
Yeah, it really is.
I also want to just clarify, as far as reading mentors, that you don't need to have any level of training. You don't need to be a reading interventionist. You don't need to be a retired classroom teacher, although we do love them and we have met several of them who are mentors. But I think that that's just important, because we're not asking you to be the interventionist, right? So during this time, during that classroom's day, there are a certain number of students who do really well being self-guided, and the teacher says, do this, and they go do that for a half an hour. And then you've got, you know, your handful of students who need the intervention. They need the classroom teacher. They need the reading interventionist to work on their skills. And then you've got all those kids in the middle, right, who just kind of need somebody to help guide them, or maybe the teacher knows that they're maybe not getting as much practice at home as they should, or, you know, whatever the case would be. So you really need to be two things. One, a really good listener. Mm-hmm. And then the other, you know, just willing to spend time with a child. And, you know, some days maybe you're the reader, right? Yeah. Sometimes you're just, you know, the student you're working with might just be at the end of their day. And you know, maybe you read to them instead of them reading to you. But it's really about practice.
It is football season. We encourage you to support your home team, support the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, get in on the campaign season. Terry, where can they find out more and other ways of how to do that?
You can visit our website, uwswac.org. I also encourage you to follow us on social media. Mm-hmm. Check us out on Facebook. We do. We try not to inundate you too much, but we do a daily post, you know, with pertinent information, and really encourage people to do that. And the other thing is invite Brian and and I to your workplace.
Yes.
We would love to come and talk to you about why to give. Of course, why to give of dollars or time. Our focus right now is really on dollars, mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. we need the dollars to make all of those opportunities for time, you know, be yeah. in place. But we really encourage you to reach out and, mm-hmm. you know, have a conversation with us.
Find out more at uwswac.org. And again, be sure to follow them on social media. Brian, Terry, thank you so much for the time.
Yep. Thanks, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden delivered a big address today at the United Nations. CBS's Linda Kenyon has details.
He spoke of managing conflict and coming together with China, for example.
We seek to responsibly manage the competition between our countries.
And that includes working together on climate change.
Nowhere is that more critical than accelerating the climate crisis.
And when it comes to Russia's war against Ukraine,
an illegal war of conquest brought without provocation by Russia against its neighbor Ukraine.
Adding Russia stands alone in the way of peace.
Mr. Biden's comments come ahead of his meeting with Zelensky at the White House Thursday. Five Americans detained for years in Iran are back. Here's CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Just before dawn, the five newly freed Americans touched down today on U.S. soil.
It means that husbands and wives, fathers and children, grandparents can hug each other again.
Businessman Imad Sharghi and environmentalist Murad Tabaz have been prisoners since 2018.